Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the lady in the bay window, the true story of a haunted Sheffield home with author William C. Grave. You know, a lot of times when something paranormal slash unexplained happens, you might be alone in the house. But other people had so many experiences in your house as well that it's very, I would think, very validating that it's not just you. Other people are having the same experiences.
I genuinely think if I'd have lived here on my own for 19 years, I think I'd have gone crazy by now, because that many things happen. And if you try and explain that to people, I mean, you've read the book. There's so many things that have happened, and that's not everything that happened. I mean, there's loads of the footsteps and doors opening and closing. That happens every couple of months.
TV turning on and off by itself.
Yeah. This sort of stuff, this happens every couple of months. And it normally lasts for about a week. It builds up. And then it stops again. And then we wait a couple of months and it happens again. And I couldn't write in the, I mean, I could have, the book could have been 10 times thicker if I'd have just written about footsteps all the time, because we hear those all the time. And if you go to investigate them, like you said, they are heavy. They sound, I've sort of described them as heavy men's footsteps. Now, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but it sounds like a heavy set man sort of with a wide gait that's walking across the landing. Or walking about downstairs. And we've heard it where we've heard two sets of footsteps at the same time as well. Almost like two people were walking loudly through the front room. And this is in the book. And that almost straight away to me, being a logical person, I just thought there's somebody broken into the house. I can hear two people walking about in my living room while I'm laid in bed with my wife. The first thing that comes to your head is that somebody's broken into the house.
Right.
And the fear behind that, that is real fear when you're coming downstairs to sort of walking on two intruders in your house. That's a real fear. But as soon as you walk towards these footsteps or get into the same room as them, they stop.
And you did bring in a paranormal investigation team.
Yes.
And I want to talk about what they found, but there is also another person you brought in. And I want to talk about both of them separately.
Yeah, that's cool.
So let's talk about the paranormal investigation team. You knew one of the people on the team?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So one of the chaps who's in the team used to come to my poker nights. So I've known him a long, long time. It's very strange that I didn't know that he did this paranormal stuff. It's not something that he shouts about, but he has been doing paranormal investigations at the time for about 2 years in a team that's been together for quite a long time. They're quite a professional team and quite well known in the paranormal side of things. They're called Awakening the Paranormal. And they investigate sort of two or three properties per week, supposed haunted properties per week. And I managed to get in touch with the guy that I knew and basically said, would you mind investigating my house? Would you bring the team? But I don't want you. I mean, I trust this guy. I've known him literally since he was born. I'm very close friends with their family. I just said, look, I don't want you to tell them where my address is or what my name is or anything. I want you to just arrive with the team on the night and investigate. And they had found out that everything that I was doing was for a local cancer charity. And they basically said, yeah, we'll do it free of charge. We'll come and investigate the property. So on the particular night that they came round, my wife went and stayed at friends. My dogs went to my dad's house. The next door neighbor was living away at the time. There was literally no noise. You could have heard a pin drop before they arrived. And within 10 minutes of them being here, it was just crazy. All the devices they were using were going off one by one, and things were going off as he asked them to go off. It was very, for a person like myself, who is a logical person, it was a very weird night. And I did actually have to go to sleep that night with the light on and the television on in my bedroom, because I was a little bit scared when the footsteps came back on the landing at the top of the stairs when I went to bed. It did freak me out a little bit.
Well, and it's kind of, what did they stir up? This is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So I did shut the bedroom door, turn the light on and put the TV on to drown out the noise. It was the only way I would have got any sleep that night.
They had to have been pretty excited, I would guess.
Yeah, Yeah, so he, as he left the property, I'm trying to think of his exact words, but it was something along the lines of, this is one of the most haunted properties we've been in. And he said, not for the amount of spirits that are here, but just what the spirits can do. And he believed there were three spirits in the house, one of which was an old lady, which sort of ties in with what people have seen here. One of which was her partner, who I know from the historical readings that her partner did die in the house. She died while she owned the property, but we don't know if she died here. But her partner did actually die in the property back in the sort of, I think it's 70s, 80s, he died. And the other one was just a visitor who'd come in, a spirit who was visiting, who visited here quite often because she liked the house. But yeah, he said it was one of the most haunted properties he'd been in, not for the wanted loads of spirits, but the fact of what they could do, the fact that they could show themselves, potentially show themselves, make a lot of noise, throw things, poltergeist activity. And this was all stuff he picked up without me telling him anything. So they were really good. They were really professional on the night as well.
Once you had them in, did that, I don't know how that would make me feel. Obviously, you just validated everything I've been feeling, but I don't know that I would find that to give me any peace necessarily.
No, it wasn't.
Getting the confirmation.
It wasn't very settling. And like I say, the house, before they arrived, I can remember pouring a glass of wine. I think I wrote about this in the book as well. I poured myself a glass of wine. I sat on the sofa and I said, look, if there are any spirits here in this house or any sort of force, please show yourself tonight, because I don't want to look silly. They're coming round for you guys to talk to you, to communicate with you. Please make yourself known. And whatever's here did make itself known for 3 or 4 hours and then went absolutely quiet again, completely silent, like nothing was here. And you could literally hear a pin drop. It's quite a quiet road that I live on. You, at that time of night, you'll not hear very many cars go down here. Yeah, it just went from everything happening to nothing happening at all. And then as soon as they left, I went to bed and it started again. And yeah, it wasn't the best place to be on your own at that time of night.
I mean, can you and your wife ever really get a good night's sleep there? Because
we certainly can't now. We've got a 6-month-old little boy.
No,
so
that's true.
We've got no chance of one of those. I can't remember what a good night's sleep is.
Because it would be, to me, you would be falling asleep. Either the child's going to start crying and you have to get up, or is somebody going to start walking around? Is something going to be thrown downstairs? Am I going to hear voices? I think I would worry all night.
Yeah. Well, I'm not looking forward to him going into his own room where we have to have a baby monitor set up, because I've seen horror films that have got baby monitors on and things, and that doesn't sound very appealing to me.
I guess you could keep him in your room till he's, what, 13, 14?
Yeah, maybe that's what I'll be. If it's up to my wife, that is what probably will happen, to be fair, because things in the house do freak her out. I'm quite calm about it all. But yeah, she's seen the old lady twice, so she does get very freaked out.
I don't blame her. And was it her son? She has a son.
Yes, I've got a stepson who's just gone to university. Yeah,
and he was pretty much left alone.
He was. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he went to university this year. He's 18 years old, and for the past 3 or 4 years, we'd probably only see him at mealtimes because he was a teenager.
Right.
So he'd just sort of walk around grunting every now and again, and he'd come downstairs and eat and then go back up to his room and play on his games. And he'd often sit with his headset on. Now, the other chap that you wanted to talk about, the medium, when he did walk in his room, he said, obviously, I can see this is probably a teenager's room. He said that the spirits are telling me that they leave him alone. They don't want to scare him. He didn't know anything about the hauntings in the house, but there is one chapter that is about him. As much as he still didn't know it, until I gave him the book when he went to university, I gave him a copy of the book and said, you can read this now, you don't live here. I didn't want to scare him.
Well, he does probably need to come back from time to time to visit. Now he'll be staying at friends' houses.
But he, there's one particular night that he was sat upstairs. He's got some noise counselling a headset that sort of noise cancelling. He was sat at his computer desk, and at night time when it's tea time or dinner time, I'd go and give him a shout and just say, "Elliot, like tea time." And I'd shout from the bottom of the stairs, and I'd often have to shout so loud and he wouldn't hear me because he had this headset on. Sometimes I'd even have to go upstairs and knock on his door because he couldn't hear me, because he was listening to his games too loud and things, gaming with his friends. But this one particular night, myself and my wife were sat on the sofa, and this was only a few years back. He was upstairs and he came running downstairs into the front room and stood there in the middle of the front room, sort of looking funny at us. And we said, "What's wrong?" And he said, is tea not ready? I was like, "No." And he said, "Well, you shouted me." I was like, I've not shouted you. He said, "I heard you shout my name from the stairs." And I said, "No, I've not shouted you." Anyway, he sort of huffed and puffed and he walked off and he went back upstairs. About 10 minutes later, he did the same thing. He came running downstairs and said, "You've just shouted me off the staircase." And I was like, "Nope, I've definitely not shouted you." And by this point, he was getting quite frustrated. And he went back upstairs again. And a third time he came running downstairs, and this time he looked really worried. And he looked at me and said, "I've just heard my name being shouted this time. I didn't have my headset on, and it wasn't your voice. It was another man's voice." And this, to be fair, freaked myself and my wife out a little bit, because we were sat in the living room, which leads to the staircase. And he said the noise was coming from the staircase and it was shouting quite loud, but we didn't hear it. And we were sat in silence downstairs, so we would have heard it. But he was adamant that he'd heard another man's voice shouting his name, but he knew nothing about any of the hauntings in the house. He'd never seen anything. He'd never witnessed anything. He was just in his own little world in his room.
Until that night.
Yeah.
Now, when you brought the medium in, what prompted you to invite him to come in?
Yeah, so basically I was about 18 months, maybe 2 years into writing the drafts of the book, and I'd been passing it around to a few family and friends and just sending them an email to say, "Have a read at this, see what you think. I've never written before. I know there's going to be mistakes in there, but I just want to make sure that it's good. If it's something that you would buy, because it's all going to be for charity." And they all loved it. I got some really good feedback back from a lot of people. They loved the contents of the book, but when they got to the end, they kind of wanted more. They wanted to know a little bit more about the house. And that's when that good friend of mine who worked for the paranormal investigation team, he came forward and kind of said, "We could potentially come into the house." And then somebody else said to me, "Why don't you get a medium in?" Now, being a skeptic, I wasn't a true believer in mediums, if I'm being honest. So I phoned around. I tried to get a name of a medium. I went on the internet. There were two or three that said that they were going to come round. I literally told them that my name was Mr. G. I wouldn't tell them my name. I wouldn't tell them the address, because I didn't want them to be able to look up anything about the property before they arrived here. I basically told them I'll meet them at the pub at the top of the road, and I'll walk them to the property. The first two or three mediums actually cancelled on me on the day and said they didn't feel comfortable going to a stranger's house, not knowing the name or the address.
I can understand that.
To be fair, I can as well. There's plenty of strange and weird and wonderful people out there, so I can kind of understand that. One of them then said to me, "But you should contact this guy." And the guy's called Tim Doyle, and he's the head of a local spiritualist church here that's quite well-renowned. I contacted Tim. He seemed a lovely guy. I told him my name was Mr. G. I told him the road that I lived on, and basically said, "Phone me when you get outside, and I'll wave at the front door so you can come in. I do not want you to be able to research anything about the property before you come in. I want it to be on a completely level playing field." And he came in. And his first words to me were, "You're a huge skeptic. There's a spirit here telling me that you are a huge skeptic. And I need to prove to you, before we do anything, I need to prove to you that this is real. What I'm going to do today is real." And he did prove a few real clear facts to me on that day. I still don't know how I feel about this, but he went through a few things with me before, and I've not put these in the book, but he went through a few things with me that were things that I would have only known. So he's either a very good mind reader or a very good medium, one or the other. And then he did his full piece, which I've written about in the book, which was just amazing, some of the stuff that he came up with. But it kind of all tied in with what the paranormal investigation team were saying as well about the spirits in the house.
Which I found very interesting, the way they did line up.
Yeah. Yeah, it all kind of lines up with exactly what I thought. There were a few more oddities on top of that, don't get me wrong. But yeah, they both came across the fact that it was an old lady and her partner died earlier on in life. And he was her partner. It wasn't her husband, which for those back in those days was an oddity in itself, because generally you would have been married back then. You wouldn't have been partners for years. You would have been married. But yeah, it was a really good sort of afternoon with him. He came around during the day and it was a really good afternoon of some of the stuff that he came out with. And I've written about all that in the book as well.
Do you think it's just the three spirits there? Because it sounds like there's so much activity. Could it be a place that there's more kind of coming and going?
Well, he mentioned the medium did when he walked upstairs. So he sort of said this spirit's taking him around the house and showing him round. And I followed him upstairs and he got to the top of the stairs and he looked at the master bedroom, which is my bedroom, mine and the wife's room. And he looked at that door and said, "We need to go in there. There's something weird going on in here." And as he walked in, he said, "Wow, I don't see these very often. There's a vortex." Now, I'd never heard of a vortex before. So I had to quiz him a little bit on this, and I still had to actually Google it after he left to find out exactly what he meant by it. But it, basically a vortex, I don't know if you've heard of one of these before, Carol, but where it's like a portal for spirits to cross over to this realm. And he said hundreds of spirits come through this portal every day, every week. He said you will hear them generally at nighttime between 1 and sort of 3 o'clock. They'll come through and they're not necessarily staying here. They're coming through this portal and going to visit relatives locally or going to visit their house locally. And that potentially could explain the footsteps. If you're thinking from a paranormal mindset, that could explain the numerous footsteps that we hear in the middle of the night.
There's one thing I don't want to hear in association with my house, and that would be you have a vortex.
Yeah. Well, when I looked it up online.
So with all respect, William, you can have yours.
I didn't really want to tell the wife when I'd finally found out what one was. I didn't really want to tell her what a vortex was. But, yeah, that's what the medium believes is here.
When you remodeled the house, did it seem to stir up more activity?
Yeah. So we went through, we renovated the whole house. And I mean, literally taking everything back to brick, rewiring the house, putting a new boiling system in there. And we spent, crikey, probably 2 or 3 years doing this. We even put an extension on the house as well. While we were doing that, things started to happen to people that were working here. So there are a few stories in the book about painters, decorators, plasterers that worked here and things happened. Yeah, there was one particular night that my wife had actually gone to live with her mom because we were renovating the whole house in one go. So we had no kitchen. The only bit of furniture that was here was a 3-seater leather sofa and a television. I said, I'll stop at the house this one particular night. I really wanted to watch. I like horror films and I don't get to watch them because my wife will not watch them with me in this house.
Don't blame her.
So I basically said, I'm going to stop in. I'm going to watch this film. And that particular night, I was laid there watching, I think it was The Conjuring 2, which was a really good film, to be fair, but it was based on a British house. And as I was watching the film, I think it was The Conjuring 2 anyway, but as I was watching the film, I saw the shadow under the door to the bottom of the stairs where we've had so much paranormal activity there in the years that I've been here. But I saw the shadow, and it's about the third time I've seen it. And it literally, the only way that you can do it is by somebody standing. We've tried to recreate this. The only way that you can create this shadow is by somebody standing behind the door. And I saw the shadow underneath the door. It started moving from right to left as if it had just walked in the front door and it was going upstairs. And I had to pause the horror film and just thought to myself, I shouldn't be watching this when this is going on in the house. And I sort of ran to the bottom of the stairs straight away and I looked upstairs. And we sometimes, after we've seen that shadow figure or whatever it is, that's been seen and witnessed by numerous people throughout the years, and people at the same time as well. So we've pretty much all seen that at that door, and there's no logical rhyme or reason to it, but we've often heard footsteps after it as well that walk up the stairs and then walk across the hallway and open one of the doors, and it's usually the toilet door at the top of the stairs that gets opened.
What do you think it would take after all these years of living in that house and the experiences you've had, the experiences your family and friends have had, what would it take to get you to go from skeptic to believer? Because you are a skeptic with an open mind.
I think for me, I mean, I'm sat in the house now, so you're asking me a question that if I say this, I'm actually in the spot where the old lady's been seen twice. Now, I'm sat in the kitchen where she has actually been seen twice, and I'm thinking to myself that if I saw that, I would be a fully fledged believer. I couldn't not be.
I think it's interesting that all of these other things have happened and then you're still skeptical. But I understand that. I think there's a lot of people who need to have more proof. Could it be my imagination? There's a lot of ways you can explain things.
There's some of the story. I think there's probably, I mean, you've seen in the book that I say that I am a skeptic and I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything paranormal. I'm just writing about my experiences in this house. Now, it's up to you to make your own mind up after each story if they are paranormal or if you believe they can be explained. And I'm more than happy if people want to contact me on Facebook. You can search for the lady in the bay window, ask me questions about it, fire them at me. I'm more than happy to answer. And I'd like to hear people's theories on things as well. Because there are probably four or five things that I've witnessed, sort of separate instances that there's no way you can explain them. I've thought about it. I've sat down and contemplated how these things can happen. And there's just no physical way it can happen.
What about your wife? Does she fall skeptic category?
She's a believer.
Okay.
100% believer. She's seen the old lady here twice. She's witnessed things with me. She's seen the shadow. She's heard the footsteps. She's seen a door handle open and open a door and then slam in front of our faces when we were both there. She is a fully fledged believer in what's happening, and it does freak her out quite a bit. So she would be probably quite happy if I said we're going to move house. But we have spent a lot of money
doing the house. I was going to say, with the remodeling that you've done there, it has to be amazing. You gutted the house.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice place. It's got a lot of character to it. I mean, I love this home. And I think that maybe that's why the lady hasn't shown herself to me. If that's
she wants you to stay.
Apparently she loved the home as well.
Now, I have one more question I want to ask you about. Or one more thing I want to ask you about, and that is that you're raising money for a cancer charity through this.
Yes.
And your mother had cancer, and it's really hard. My dad had cancer, and it's really hard to watch them go through that. But I really appreciate what you're doing.
No, thank you very much. Yeah, it's a local cancer charity that they do things a little bit different. They work with the cancer patient and the families of the cancer patient if needed as well. And they do all sorts of different treatments that aren't sort of your normal GP treatments, but sort of general practice treatments, like Reiki and all sorts of things like that, that just help you through the mental battle of the diagnosis and treatment side of things. Now, my mom was diagnosed with a rare form of breast cancer 5 years ago. We lost her in May. And it's awful. And I think for the last 3 years, writing this has been my way of sort of coping and also thinking to myself that I'm helping, if not my family, other families through this, because as of yesterday, in the first month of sales, it's raised just over £10,000 for this charity called Cavendish Cancer Care.
Oh, that gave me the goosebumps. That is amazing.
It's unreal. I mean, when I first started writing the book, I got asked by a good friend of mine, he says, how many copies do you want to sell? And I said, well, I want to sell about 400 copies. And it's just sold over 2,600. And to be talking to yourself from America who's got the book, it's just unreal. I didn't expect it to go anywhere near what it's done, but it's fantastic.
Well, when we first started this, you and I started talking before I hit record. I told you these are my favorite stories to talk about. I love to hear people, just regular people's experiences in houses that you can't really explain the activity. And I guess it's because growing up myself like that, that I always find it so interesting that other people have similar stories to what I experienced. And I don't know what the answer is. And I would love for somebody at some point someday to sit me down and go, oh, all that stuff that happened to you when you were a kid, here's the answer. This is how this works.
I'm exactly the same. So many questions. I think having the medium and paranormal team here just raised more questions than gave me answers, if I'm being honest. But I've been, the amount of people that have reached out, like yourself, that have lived in haunted houses or do live in haunted houses now, and have read the book and they understand where I'm coming from with a lot of the things that are in there. It's just crazy. I'm talking thousands of people have messaged me, and I always get back to people as well and sort of talk with them about it because it interests me.
Once again, I'm impressed that you're still living in that house. Now, the book is The Lady in the Bay Window, The True Story of a Haunted Sheffield Home. I found it on Amazon, probably wherever books are sold, you can find it.
You can find it on, it's on Amazon. It's in paperback, hardback, Kindle, and it's on Kindle Unlimited as well. So if you've got Kindle Unlimited, it's on there. I am currently working on the audiobook as well at the minute, so I'm doing the audiobook myself. So that's coming out. Hopefully, I'm trying to get that done for around Christmas time, but it's proving a lot harder task than I thought it would be. But we'll see. It'll be out soon.
It seems like an easy thing to do until you start reading it. And then you go, I didn't read that very well. I've got to read that again. And then you got to do it again. You know,
exactly.
It is time consuming. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I really enjoyed this conversation and I really enjoyed the book.
No, thank you, Carol. And thank you for buying the book and supporting it with this interview as well. I really appreciate it.
And I can't wait for part two to come out in a few years.
I've already got about 7 chapters written down with times and dates of things that have happened and things that are worth writing about. So you might
see
that.
You know. You keep in touch. Okay.
I will.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
And that wraps up our conversation with William C. Grave about his new book, The Lady in the Bay Window, The True Story of a Haunted Sheffield Home. You can purchase the book on Amazon or wherever books are sold. You can also follow him on Facebook. Just search The Lady in the Bay Window. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything without the commercials, you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.